A reading from Philippians chapter 3. Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. During this season of Advent, we look forward to celebrating the coming of Jesus as a tiny child and also look forward to the coming of Jesus again on the last day. Amen, come, Lord Jesus, we pray. Yet, if we examine ourselves closely, we find that we cannot look forward to the return of Jesus without our own flesh interfering. Amen, come, Lord Jesus. But I would prefer that you not come before Christmas. I do want to have a chance to find out what others might give me as gifts. Amen, come, Lord Jesus. But not certainly the day after I get placed. I want a chance to put to work what I've learned to be a pastor or a deaconess. Amen, come Lord Jesus, but certainly not the day before I retire. I've worked hard all my life and want to enjoy some of the privileges that I've earned. Amen, come Lord Jesus, but I'd prefer it not be before my kids grow up or before I have a chance to see the grandkids or great-grandkids. Those are the times we'd rather put off the second coming. How about the times we are ready? Amen, come Lord Jesus. And right now before that final I'm dreading taking would be great. Amen, come Lord Jesus. I don't think I'm ready to face this upcoming congregational meeting that I know is going to be difficult. With the second set of examples, I have replaced my desire for postponing the coming of our Lord with my desire for having him return. But still, in both cases, I have mixed in my own desires and expectations, and yes, timing, with the waiting for our Lord's return. Our thoughts and expectations and our wants are tied to this corrupt and sinful world, a result of our living in our sinful flesh. As God's people, we must acknowledge that we are 100% sinners, not living as we should as God's children. We must admit that our own felt needs always interfere with our Christian thinking. Therefore, we must acknowledge before God that we want to turn from our sin in repentance and want and desire God's mercy without any merit or worthiness in ourselves. We can no more depend upon our own efforts than Paul could depend upon his. In the few verses before our reading today, Paul enumerates some of the things that he had counted upon in his past. Being a member of the tribe of Benjamin, being a persecutor of the church, being blameless under the law. Not a bad list, well, except for persecuting the church, especially when we compare it to our own situations, looking forward to Christ's return as long as it suits our own schedule. But Paul recognized his life for what it was when Jesus Christ confronted him on the road to Damascus. Not a gain, but a loss. What Paul considered a righteousness was simply his own attempts, based on fallible human efforts, to be in a position that God would find acceptable. Paul had to throw out his own efforts, all of them, to gain a favorable spot in God's sight. He discovered that he was a 100% sinner. Any effort on his part would not change that fact. Paul, therefore, wanted nothing to do with the righteousness that comes from the law. He did not want anything that even looked like a righteousness of his own, considering all of that mere rubbish. What was of surpassing worth for Paul was knowing Christ Jesus. The word that St. Paul uses here is gnosis, the normal word for knowing in Greek. For Paul, there was nothing wrong with knowledge. In fact, it was necessary. Knowledge, not feeling, was necessary. But not just any knowledge. What distinguishes true knowledge from false knowledge is the content of the knowledge, the what that is known, or in this case, the who that is known. Paul writes about the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. It is this knowledge that causes everything else to be considered as a loss. Paul is quite specific about what he knows. He does not write about knowing Christ Jesus or knowing Christ Jesus the Lord, but knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. The content of Paul's knowledge is very concrete and specific, but also very personal. St. Paul is certainly not arguing against other knowledge. He is not dismissing knowledge of accounting or of avionics or of telephone switching systems. Knowledge in these areas is crucial to our modern civilization, and we cannot dismiss vocations where this kind of knowledge is needed. Knowledge in these other areas, however, does not give a righteousness before God or from God that depends on faith. Nor does secret or special knowledge of any kind give a righteousness from God that depends on faith. It is only knowledge of Jesus Christ, your Lord, that is of surpassing worth and that counts for anything in the spiritual realm. In the last two verses of our reading, St. Paul lets us know what that knowledge is. It is a knowledge rooted and grounded in the sufferings, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the knowledge that knows that Jesus Christ died for your sins, even those of mixing in your own needs and wants in looking forward to Christ's advent. Having been freed from finding and keeping a righteousness of his own, Paul, and you and I are free to share in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Well, that's not actually what Paul said. Perhaps get to share is closer to what Paul wrote. As we follow our Savior, our lives become cruciform. Our lives are shaped by the same cross that shaped our own Lord's life and death. I don't know what particular cross you are bearing or will bear. Since our Lord places on each person his own cross, the particular sufferings of Jesus Christ that you share are undoubtedly different from mine. There is, however, one area where we share the same cruciform life. We must all daily crucify and kill the old Adam, daily letting a new man arise. The new man is our 100% righteous nature, the truly pure nature that God sees in us as he looks at us through the cross of Jesus Christ. It is that righteousness that comes from God, not tinged with any righteousness of our own, which would simply destroy the righteousness that comes by faith. With that 100% righteousness, we can stand before God and, without any hint of being self-serving, cry out to our Lord, "O Savior, rend the heavens wide. Come down with mighty stride. Come down to us as a tiny child as we celebrate your birth. And come down to take us to you from exile to our promised land. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen."